She wants to know why you've taken so long to visit her, Saituni explained. She says that she is the eldest child of your grandfather, Hussein Onyango, and that you should have come to see her first. Tell her I meant no disrespect, I said, looking at Sarah, but not sure what she understood. Everything's been so busy since my arrival. It was hard to come sooner. Sarah's tone became sharp. She says that the people you stay with must be telling you lies. Tell her that I've heard nothing said against her. Tell her that the dispute about the old man's estate has just made Alma uncomfortable about coming here. Sarah snorted after the translation and started up again, her voice rumbling against the close walls. When she finally stopped, Zaituni remained quiet. What'd she say, Zaituni? Zaituni's eyes stayed on Sarah as she answered my question. She says the child is not her fault. She says that it's Kazia's doing, Alma's mom. She says that the children who claim to be Obama's are not Obama's. She says that they have taken everything of his and left his true people living like beggars. Sarah nodded, and her eyes began to smolder. Yes, Betty, she said suddenly in English. It is me who looks after your father when he is a very small boy. My mother, Akumu, is also your father's mother. Akumu is your true grandmother, not this one you call Granny. Akumu, the woman who gave your father life, you should be helping her. And me, your brother's sister, look where I live. Why don't you help us instead of these others? Before I could answer, Zaituni and Sarah began to argue with each other in Luo. Eventually, Zaituni stood up and straightened her skirt. We should go now, Betty. I began to rise out of my chair, but Sarah took my hand in both of hers, her voice softening. Will you give me something for your grandmother? I reached for my wallet and felt the eyes of both aunts as I counted out the money I had on me, perhaps $30 worth of shillings. I pressed them into Sarah's dry, chapped hands, and she quickly slipped the money down the front of her blouse before clutching my hand again. Stay here, Betty, Sarah said. You must meet. You can come back later, Betty, Zaituni said. Let's go. Outside, a hazy yellow light bathed the road. My clothes hung limp against my body in the windless heat. Zaituni was quiet now, visibly upset. She was a proud woman, this aunt. The scene with Sarah must have embarrassed her. And then that $30, Lord knows she could have used it herself. We had walked for 10 minutes before I asked Zaituni what she and Sarah had been arguing about. Ah, it's nothing, Betty. This is what happens to old women who have no husbands. Zaituni tried to smile, but the tension creased the corners of her mouth. Come on, auntie, tell me the truth. Zaituni shook her head. I don't know the truth, at least not all of it. I know that even growing up, Sarah was always closer to her real mom, Akumu. Barak, your dad, he cared only for my mom, Granny, the one who raised them after Akumu left. Why did Akumu leave? I'm not sure. You will have to ask Granny about that. Zaituni signaled for us to cross the street, then resumed talking. You know, your father and Sarah were actually very similar, even though they did not always get along. She was smart like him, and independent. She used to tell me, when we were children, that she wanted to get an education so that she would not have to depend on any man. That's why she ended up married to 4 different husbands. None of them lasted. The first one died, but the others she left because they were lazy or they tried to abuse her. I admire her for this. Most women in Kenya put up with anything. I did for a long time. But Sarah also paid a price for her independence.